Well, hello and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, my guest today, met this guy at Terrapin Place Pizza a few nights ago, and we got to chat, and I go, I got to have you on my Spotlight Show. Welcome, Gene Laird. How are you, Gene?
Doing well, brother. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Now, we got to talking. Now, Gene, you are a Jersey County boy.
My whole life.
Yeah? Grew up here?
I grew up here, moved out for a couple of years, went to South County and decided that I can't live like that for sure, and came right back.
Yeah, and now how old are you?
42.
42. And you have a family?
Yep.
How many kids you got?
I had four kids. I had one that passed away. I got three that's left now. And
Sorry to hear about that.
Yep, two daughters and a boy. The one that passed away was also a boy.
What happened there? How did he pass?
He was born with gastrostasis, which is where your abdomen wall doesn't close up. His intestines was not doing
He didn't last long.
He made it 40 days.
40 days.
Yeah. So, but he's in a better place now. So
growing up in Jersey County, went to Jersey High School. But what we're going to get to, just so people know, is Gene, you live off the grid.
100%, yes.
Yeah. So you don't have an electric bill. You got your own water. You take care of yourself. You're just on your own.
Yeah, I don't even have a mailbox. So there's no power lines coming in, no water lines coming in. My power comes from solar. My water comes from a spring that we have, there's no driveway. I just live in the middle of the woods up on a hill. So,
hey, before we get into that, so, you got out of high school, right? And what happened when you got out of high school? Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Well, I had my first daughter when I was 16 years old, so I dropped out of high school.
16?
Yeah, I started early.
Oh, but, my gosh. Yeah, so,
but, you know, my grandpa told me, he said, you know, if you're going to have responsibilities, you got to take care of them. And he said, you know, you're a man, you can always make money on manual labor, so you need to take care of your kid.
And, now, your grandpa told you that?
Yeah.
Not your dad?
No.
Did you have a relationship with your dad?
Oh, yeah. A beautiful relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you must have had a good relationship with your dad or your grandpa.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We did a lot of farm work. We had an 1,100-acre farm. And so a lot of time spent with him mending fence rows, building new fence, cutting hay, baling it, bucking it. So a lot of time with him. So, you know, a lot of lunches. And
did your dad work on the farm as well?
No, he farmed for another guy, and he worked at, used to be Cometco, and then a couple other places, so, you know, he was just busy all the time making sure our family was okay. You know, he was a great man. He is a great man, you know.
Now, is your grandpa still living?
No, he passed away, I don't even know, probably almost a decade ago now, so.
I gotcha. So, anyway, your grandpa said you need to go to work. So, did you get married then at 16?
I got married at about 19. We waited a couple years. We tried to save up a little money so that way it'd be all right, you know, kind of an all right marriage, you know.
Did you live with your family or did you live on your own?
It was kind of back and forth for the first year or two. And then at 19, I bought my first house, which is kind of the start of the process of homesteading. So.
Okay. So you did get some schooling. In automotive or something you were talking about.
Yeah, so I started at Dobbs Tire and Auto, and they paid for me to go to alignment school and then an advanced alignment school. And after that, they put me into doing diagnostics, and so they sent me to a company called DTI with a guy named Lou Craven, who was the instructor. And he taught me so much that... I wound up being the head diagnostician for Dobbs. Like, they would send all the problem cars to my shop.
Diagnostics. Kind of explain that a little bit.
All right. So, your car comes in with a check engine light, or even if you know, your ABS is activating when it shouldn't be, or just anything pretty much electronic. You know, you got a light on your dash, and everybody else is having a hard time figuring it out. That's what they sent me to.
Yeah, our phones are going off left and right. So anything that's going on that you plug your you you plug your car in, and then you were good at figuring it out.
Yeah, and anything that basically involved like a scanner or a voltmeter, you know, anything electronic, that was me. That's what I did. Okay. So
how long did you work in that industry?
Automotively, about 25 years.
Oh.
And then as the diagnostician, it was about 10 years. And after that, I went to another shop that was really small called Melanfi Tire and Auto, and wound up buying half of that business from the guy, because he was an older guy, and he was ready to get out of the business. But then he wound up getting sick, and we decided that we were just going to sell the business. So then I went into HVAC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got in that business, did a little of that work as well?
Yeah, my cousin owns his own company. In HVAC, and I worked for him for about 3 years there.
What's his name?
Drew Laird.
Oh, Drew?
Yeah, he does Laird Conditioning.
Oh, yeah. So. And works on coolers and refrigeration as well?
Yep, absolutely.
He's worked on some of my stuff before.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, I worked for him when we did your place up there at George's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so you're kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, and I'm a stone.
Is that it? Or you got more stuff?
No, I'm a stonemason too. I specialize.
You're a stonemason.
I specialize in historical construction, reconstruction, and restoration. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so,
and you've been doing that for a few years?
Oh, I've been doing that since I was probably 16, off and on, and then I did it after the HVAC for about 5 years. It was one of my main only jobs other than my own contracting.
Okay, so explain a little bit to the listeners what a stonemason is, because we're not just talking about just a bricklayer.
No. So bricklayers don't even look at stones.
Right.
As soon as you say I got a stone job for a bricklayer, they go, no, we're not interested. So
just tell briefly about what a stonemason does.
Whether it's old stone buildings like down in Alton or Chautauqua or Grafton.
Or in Grafton, yeah.
Yes, especially Grafton. We do a lot of work down in that area because it's all historical. They use a lot of different dyes back in the day, so you got to match the dyes to make the historical societies happy and so on and so forth. Bricklayers don't want to mess with that. You know,
my house actually has a stone foundation as well, big old limestone foundation. And there's a lot of them around town. You know,
A lot of the old construction. We did the Hazel Dell building. We did their foundation. I don't even know. It must have been probably
for the pointers.
About 25 years ago, they had a spot that had like partially caved in,
and
we tore it out, jacked it up, and tore it out, and put everything back and set it back down on it. So,
and okay, so here's a question. You got, I kind of know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just for the listeners. You need a stone a certain size. Okay. So do you just keep looking? Do you find one? What do you do when you need a stone to fit?
Yeah. So you try to, it's like a puzzle as you're building. So you try to like look at all your stock that you have and try to like predetermine what's going to fit where. But a lot of times you do have to shape stone. So hammers and chisels.
Where do you get the stone at?
Lots of it's locally sourced.
Just out of the
lots of it's locally
hillsides.
Sourced, and well, like from old buildings that they tear down, they'll be looking to get rid of it, and they'll sell it for next to nothing. But there's a place in Brentwood that sells stone, and a couple in southern Missouri that sell it as well, and you can buy all different types of stone.
So are you still doing the stone work? Do you do that as well?
Well, it's been a few weeks since I've done anything with it.
A few weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've kind of taken a break from it. I'm 42, so.
Right, but I mean, you're doing it.
I look for the easier jobs mainly, so.
So you said, before we did this interview, you said you got four jobs going on right now.
Right.
Okay, so. You're kind of a stonemason. Does that count as one of them?
That counts as one.
Okay, what else are you doing?
I'm a stonemason. I work at Terrapin's Pizza, where we met.
Yeah.
I farm, and then I have my own general contracting company that I do. So
what do you do in your general contracting company?
I do landscaping, yard cleanup, basic construction repairs, windows, stuff like that. So.
Okay.
But, I mean, just whatever needs done. So.
So how did you get hooked up at Terrapin Pizza?
So
I mean, sounds like you're pretty busy.
Well, okay, actually, okay. So I actually kind of lied because I have another job. I work for Pastry Service too. So that's actually how I met Rick Edwards up there at Terrapins. Was I split all of his white oak that he burns, that he cooks the pizzas with. And I was out there. I was out there splitting wood one day, and he came out to pick up a load. And you know, we just got to talking, and he told me what he was doing. And, you know, it's a couple years ago. And then a friend of mine got hired up there, and I'd been giving her a ride back and forth. And then me and him just started talking, and you know, I said, "Hey, can you teach me to cook pizzas?"
So that's what you're doing now, cooking pizzas?
A little bit of everything, yeah. It's an art to cook them pizzas. I'm going to tell you, that dude is a master. Like
Rick is?
And everything is handmade. Everything's from Italy. He makes his own ranch and dressings and tomato sauce, and everything is like on point. Like,
oh, yeah.
He doesn't slack, you know? So, yeah, so I started making pizzas, and then I kind of fill in for people when they call off and whatnot, and so.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Gene Laird with me. He's a jack of all trades, and I'm not even going to say, you know, he's probably a master of a few trades too.
Oh, come
I mean,
on.
You're probably a master stone man, and you're a master auto tech guy. So, and we're actually getting to the point where he's going to talk about how he lives off the grid. So, Gene, are we to that point yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so you live off the grid. What possessed you to want to live off the grid?
Some of the conversations that me and my grandpa and especially my great uncle Lawrence had was all about being self-sufficient and not relying on somebody for anything. And one of the things that they really didn't like was the government, truthfully. Uh-huh. So they wanted to have for me as much distance as possible. And so as I grew up, I realized that, you know, if I'm tied into the banking systems and, you know, all the credit unions and all that, then I'm just running this rat race, you know, where I'm always going to be perpetually owing somebody something. So what I did is I took advantage of the government when I was 19. And I got me one of the, like an FHA loan, like a first time home buyer's loan.
Yeah.
And bought me a super tiny house that was just enough for me and my soon to be wife and my daughter. And I lived there and I just saved money and saved money and saved money and saved money. And then.
Did you build the house yourself?
No.
Oh, no, it was already made.
Yeah, okay. That one was already built. Yeah, it was in the middle of Jerseyville, right behind Motomart.
Okay.
I mean, nowhere that I wanted to live at all. I grew up on an 1,100-acre farm, so I did not want to live in town. But I made the sacrifice, you know, and I just saved what I could. And then a little pre-COVID, I actually got into some cryptocurrency stuff and kind of came out smelling like a rose.
Good for you.
And then COVID hit, and everything that my grandpa and great uncle had ever said kind of really hit home with me. And I thought, they're locking us down, forcing mask mandates. You know, they're doing terrible by us. And I said, I got to make a move.
So you started this after COVID.
Well, it was, I bought my place in February of 2020 it would have been May of 2020. So about the time it was starting to get big over here, and so I sold my crypto and bought my ground, paid cash for it,
and built a house on it.
And then used the extra money I had. I built a 2-bedroom cabin. Okay. So, and I mean, I homestead, but it's not like I live out there with nothing. You know, I got hot water and a shower. I got a washing machine and an air conditioner. And, you know, so.
So how do you get your power to run that stuff?
It's all solar. I got 14 280 watt solar panels.
Okay. Give me an idea to do this. How many square feet of solar panels are we talking? Just approximately.
So each one of them is, I believe, 3 foot by 2 foot. So.
Okay. So 6 times 14. About is what we're talking.
Yeah, right. I would say it's probably, about that.
Around 80?
Yeah.
80 square feet?
Yep.
That's not too much.
No.
So they just individual units, you got a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, and you kind of create a parallel series circuit with them. So you hook two of them together, and then you run that into a series circuit, and then it goes inside to a charge controller, and the charge controller runs down to the lithium ion batteries, and then out of the lithium ion batteries, you have an inverter that turns your 12 volts back into 120. So
120 AC.
Yep.
Alternating current.
Yep. I have no 240 anything.
Everything's 110.
Yep. Even the water heater. So. Okay.
So do you have to worry about, though, when it's cloudy or, you know, you ever get in a situation where you don't have any power?
Well, my inverter did go out a few months ago, you know, but it was $400 for a new one. And I imagine that's probably about the cost of 1 month's electric bill now, you know, so, and it lasted me 4 years, so.
How about for heat? What do you use for heat?
I have a wood stove, and then I also have a propane wall heater, so as a backup. Everything out there is about redundancy. You always want to have a backup, so.
Okay, well, what's your backup on the electric?
Generator? Yes, I have a generator, and then I also have a second inverter that, because the power is really important, I have a second inverter that I can just plug into my truck and then run an extension cord to the house and backfeed the house. So,
well, you got it figured out. And well, did you have to research this pretty heavy to get all this stuff figured out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had no idea. many hours on YouTube.
So you live there, no electric bill, no water bill. What else? What are some of the advantages of living off the grid?
Complete and absolute independence and lack of governance. If I want to have a bonfire, I can have a bonfire. If I want to let off fireworks, I can. If I want to shoot, I can. And my nearest neighbor is about a mile from me. So I don't even have to worry about upsetting them. You know? So
you kind of remind me of Jeremiah Johnson. Remember that?
Jeremiah Johnson? I don't know. What is that?
He lived off. This was a show years ago where this guy was a mountain man. He lived in the mountains. Jeremiah. And he got the beard.
Well,
they
used to call me Grizzly Adams. Okay. So.
Yeah, about the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're living off the grid, no bills. Have you had any big struggles? You know, trying to do this?
Well, so to get to my house, you have to drive down into a creek and then up the creek and then back out the other side of the creek. And it has a habit of flooding at times. So one of my, it's not really a struggle. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes I got to walk in and out because I can't get the truck through it because the water can be 5 or 6 feet deep, you know. So I have a log that I cut down that I use as a bridge. And sometimes I got to walk in and out, and sometimes it's with grocery or dog food or chicken food or, you know, whatever. And so it's kind of a pain. And then, like you had mentioned with the cloudy days, sometimes the electric is kind of a tough thing to deal with, you know, but, I just got to keep an eye on the weather. And when I know we got, you know, 2 or 3 cloudy days coming up, you know, I got to watch my consumption, you know, but,
So what would be your suggestion to anybody listening to this and they think, you know what, I'd kind of like to live off the grid as well. What are the steps?
So I'll say it just like I just talked to a guy yesterday that I met down at the Amoco in Grafton, and he was saying he'd like to do it, and he was a younger kid, and what I told him, because he says, I don't have any credit, you know, and I definitely don't have any money, I said, well then, you know, do what the government's going to do to you and take advantage of them. I said, so get you a government loan, first-time home buyer's loan.
Yeah.
So get you a house to live in. You get the bare minimum that you need to scratch by on, and then just save your money. Save it. Save every bit of it.
It's not going to happen like that.
It's
going to take a little bit to get in this situation.
Yeah, it took me almost 20 years.
Oh.
But I'm here now.
Oh, right.
You know, I bought my house when I was 19, and then I just bought my homestead, you know, about 4 years ago. So, you know, I was 38, so, I mean, it's not quick, you know. But I also bought 20 acres. I bought a way bigger piece of land than anybody ever needs to homestead. You only take you about a couple of acres, you know, to build something
on. Okay, just a couple. You have a garden as well?
Normally I have a garden. I wasn't able to get one this year because I had some family situations that had popped up with one of my kiddos, and I had to be gone a whole lot. Okay. So I didn't have one this year, but... I do have a lot of medicine plants, and then I do have Japanese raspberries and a couple other things.
Do you have any animals out there?
Chickens, dogs, and cats.
Okay.
So the chickens used to supply me eggs, but now my dogs have discovered it, and so they normally get to them before I do.
Yeah. Do you look in the future where you might have some, like, hogs or cows or something that you'd raise and eat?
Yeah, probably. Probably at some point, yeah. But it's a lot of work as it is right now, so I need to get even a little more set up, you know, so that things are a little smoother before I take on any larger livestock. But yeah, I'd like to.
Okay.
So, and I farm with my dad, so I do get to deal with animals. So,
sounds like you stay pretty busy.
Oh yeah, I do stay pretty busy. Yeah, yeah. This last harvest, heck, everything that we own broke down on us: the tractor, the combine, his truck, the 2-ton grain truck, the side by side. I spent about 2 weeks fixing stuff. So,
yeah. Well, it sounds like an interesting life. I know my wife would not do it. I can tell you that right now.
I've met a lot of guys that go, I would love to live off grid, but I'm married. So yeah. They're like, my wife is not going to do it.
I don't know if I'd like doing it either. Actually, yeah. I like having
some of the electric, better amenities.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm not there yet, but
I keep slowly building my system. So you know, one day it won't be such a big deal. You know, I'd like to eventually have, you know, 30 or 35 panels and another extra battery bank. And
The cool thing is, you know, in your mind, hey, if things go south, we have a big storm or whatever happens, you can take care of yourself.
Well,
and
yeah,
maybe take care of others.
And exactly. And you know, if you know, it does hit the fan, like on a whole country level, I've got a place that all my kids can go where they're going to be okay, you know? So, it's a big peace of mind for me.
Hey, any words of wisdom on closing this interview out?
Just if you do want to do the homesteading thing, there's a couple things to remember. Number one, no matter how quickly you think you're going to get something done, it's going to take about twice that long. It's never going to go smoothly, and it is a lot of work. So you got to make sure that you're dedicated to what you're wanting to do, and just don't give up if that's what your heart wants, because it's going to be tough at times.
Yeah. Well, Gene, thanks so much for coming in. And Gene Laird, living off the land here in Jersey County, and working at Terrapin and about every other place in town. So have a good day. We'll
Brother,
see
it was great to have you. Or see you.
Thank you.
Bye.